Hello, welcome once again to Dr. Ray Talks It Over, the program designed for parents and families where the aim is to help you stand strong as a parent for the sake of your children. I'm Jerry Escher, along with Dr. Ray Guarendi, father of 10, psychologist and author. Dr. Ray, hello again.
Hi, Jerry. It's I've commented on this before, but it's so peaceful in these radio studios. You can't hear sounds. I had forgotten, as a father of 10, what it was like to not hear sounds.
Maybe you should bring your wife here sometime. Let her experience it.
I think my wife would pay heavy dollars to come here and just sit. She is not the woman when I dated her. That's right. I can talk to her now, and she just looks at me like, are you talking to me?
Well, I mentioned you are the father of 10, and those are 10 adopted children, and that is our topic this time on Dr. Ray Talks It Over, the adoption option. I think the best place to start, Dr. Ray, is with your own experience. 10 adopted children, mixed races, all kinds of situations you have found yourself in adopting these kids. Tell us about it.
I remember the day I came home and sat on the chair and told my wife, the doctor said, if we can ever conceive, get on a TV talk show because it will be a miracle.
Hmm.
And well-meaning relatives and friends said things like, oh, I've known a lot of people like that, you know, they didn't think they could conceive, and lo and behold, they just relaxed and they maybe adopted a child, and bang, they got pregnant. Well, in this case, our doctor was exactly right. I have a congenital condition from birth that there was no way that I can have children. So we talked, and we said, do you think we can adopt? We wanted to have a large family. My wife and I both come from fairly decent-sized families. Well, the adoption arena right now is very different than it was 20, 30 years ago, with the fact that so many young women are choosing to abort their babies, and with the fact that now the most responsible option, as viewed by young mothers, is not to give up the baby for adoption, it's to keep it. Under the most immature and adverse circumstances, somehow, some way, it is now pop culturally defined as that being the good thing to do. Given that, the stories of, well, you know, we knew couples who waited 7 years to adopt. We knew couples who waited 5 years. We knew couples who went to China, who went to Ecuador, who went to Romania to adopt. So we figured, well, I don't know what God has in store for us, but hopefully we can adopt. A long story would be to tell you how the children came, but I truly believe our Lord had his hand in all this. One child led to another child through some very unusual circumstances. And lo and behold, we found ourselves with 10 children. It was like eating potato chips.
Nobody could eat just one.
You just keep having another one, you know? And what we found was, if, as adoptive parents, and I say this to all people thinking of adoption, if you are willing to adopt children of other races, the wait is nowhere near as long. You generally can get much younger children, including infants, and you can probably adopt as many as you wish. We have 3 white, 2 Hispanic, 2 biracial, and 3 black. All gifts from God. Various ages they came to us, most at infancy, some older. But at this point, if we would choose to adopt again, it would probably be logistically fairly easy, simply because once you already have a child of a certain race, the agencies are more than willing to give you other children of the same race because they have brothers and sisters of the same race.
How do the children react to each other being of a different race?
We were driving home one day about 2 years ago after looking at a young African-American girl. She was about 2. At that time, we had 2 white, 2 Hispanic, 2 biracial, and a black. And we said to the kids, what would you guys think about having Deshauna as a sister? My son Andrew was about 11 at the time. All seriousness, he said, I think we ought to adopt her, Dad. She sort of looks like a Guarendi. He was dead serious.
That's beautiful.
He didn't even think about that issue.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are getting older now. They know they're children of different races. But to them, our approach has always been, you are our children. You could never be more our children than you are, and you are each other's brothers and sisters. That is non-negotiable. I had an interesting question from a lady a couple years back. She said to me, what if someday one of your black sons says to you at age 14, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my dad. You're not even my father. And I looked at her and I said, you mean after I nail him or before? And she just looked at me stunned. And I said, you don't understand. That child is my son. He will never, ever tell me he's not my son. You tell me whatever you want. We don't even talk about the issue of you saying you're not my son. That's not even something we entertain because it isn't even talkable. My wife has a nice way of talking to the kids about their adoption if and when it comes up. And surprisingly, it doesn't come up very much at all, even with the older kids. She says, we're all adopted by God. Every single one of us is an adopted child of God. That's how God does things. So you were adopted by us. God gave you to us. And that's the way she approaches it.
You would want to maintain, if there were any cultural things specific to their cultures and so forth, I imagine you want to try to maintain that as best you can.
Oh, I went round and round with the social workers about that one, especially when we adopted children of other races. They said, how are you going to keep their culture alive? And I said, would you please define culture for me? What do you mean? Because a couple of my children had very, very terrible backgrounds that we adopted. All of them had kind of what would call at-risk backgrounds, but a couple of them were really bad. Mom was a crack prostitute in a couple of cases. Mm. And I said, what culture? I don't understand. If you're saying something inherent in how they were raised, no. I want to get them away from how they were raised. I want to give them stability in this home. If you're saying something along the lines of a middle-class upbringing, well, that's what we kind of are. We just go to the same places that our African-American friends go to. We go to the same churches. We do the same things. I don't understand. I am their dad. I am responsible for giving them morals and love and guidance and discipline. And therefore, if you want to define that as culture, that's my definition of culture. I don't know what this other stuff is. Well, they need to be proud of their heritage. And I said, well, okay, and I'll do everything I can to show them that all people have equal dignity. Beyond that, I don't know how much of an issue I want to make of this. I don't want to emphasize their difference. I want to emphasize their sameness. That's been our approach.
What other issues are there with regard to parenting adopted children?
Let's begin at the very front end. The children now up for adoption have changed radically in the last 20 to 30 years. In the past, more children were available who were born to mothers who got pregnant out of wedlock, but for the most part were not into a very adverse lifestyle. They weren't into drugs. They took fairly decent care of themselves, or maybe they had a supportive family or organization behind them, and then they very quietly put the children up for adoption. A lot of what is happening now is that many of the children now available for adoption are coming through adverse circumstances. A birth mom has been into drugs, or there's been a very irresponsible existence, or the agencies have taken the child away at birth. There is much, much more of that. As a result, the children are coming with, I don't know if I would go so far as to say more than their share of problems, but they have possibly temperaments or learning issues or immaturity issues that I call the herky-jerky quirky temperament. A lot of developmental junk, maybe some immaturity, maybe some relentlessness, maybe some poor impulse control, maybe a real high activity level, things that can be dealt with, but it takes stronger parenting. And certainly not all the children, but just at a higher percentage. And I will see this an awful lot with parents who adopt. They get a little bit taken by surprise at the temperament of the child. You know, maybe the child is five and acting like he's four. Maybe the child is 7 and struggling in school a little bit. The child is 9 and having a hard time making friends because his behavior can put kids off. You get a fair amount of that that has to be dealt with. Okay, that is definitely an adoption issue in my opinion. Another adoption issue is parents are afraid, and this is so sad. I have had Christian parents come to me and say things like this. I don't know what's going to happen because of the drug exposure, and I'm really afraid of the drug exposure. I can reassure them from my own personal experience. Many of my children have been drug exposed, some pretty badly. We have not found that to be a significant issue. Yes, in some of them there is a bit of immaturity. And yes, in some of them they struggle to learn. Nothing terrific. They can learn, they can read, but it's harder for them. That so far has been the issues. And if we get the children at birth, we can go a long way in straightening that out. Also, the research has shown that it isn't necessarily just drug exposure, Jerry, that is the problem. You can't separate out drug exposure from other factors. Moms who abuse drugs also tend to be moms who don't take care of themselves, who don't get good prenatal care, who don't get good postnatal care, who have low birth weight children, who smoke, who drink, who have poor nutrition. All of this enters into the picture, and therefore the child sometimes struggles to make up that lost neurophysiological ground that they didn't get in the womb. That's a factor. I had one mom say to me, I have a child. We gave birth to a child, and we are having trouble conceiving, and we want to adopt. But I'm afraid at how my child will react. She has been the only child. What happens when we bring another child into the family and say, oh, by the way, this is your new brother or sister? And I asked mom, are you Christian? She said, yes. I said, then for you, this wouldn't be an issue. Because when our Lord said, take care of the children, he didn't go, unless they have older siblings who would have a hard time adjusting to the presence of a younger sibling.
Mm-hmm.
I said, first of all, your daughter will probably adjust just fine. Second of all, it doesn't matter. Because indeed, she can learn over time with your help that this is her sister or brother. I had a family come into me about a year ago. They have a 9-year-old daughter. And the daughter was basically, I mean, she was flat out saying, I don't want you to adopt. I don't want any other kid in this family. If you adopt another child in this family, I'm going to be mad. I'm not going to love him. I'm not going to accept him. I'm not going to care for him. And this was a very devout Catholic family. And they came to ask me about this. I asked them, do you think your 9-year-old daughter should have this decision to make? They said, no, it's not her decision. It's ours. I said, you're absolutely right. Do you believe her when she says at age 9, I am not going to accept her. She's not my sister. I don't want any part of her. And if you bring her into this home, I will be unhappy and miserable, and you'll have all kinds of problems for me. I said, do you believe her? They said, we believe that's how she feels now. I said, yes. Do you think that's how she'll feel a year from now? They went, no, we know our daughter. She'll probably love this child more than any of us. I said, well, you answered your own question then. We do what we think is best for our family and what the Lord would have us do, and our children will adjust and will accept. We got the question one time. We lived in a home with 3 bedrooms, and we were moving up in the numbers of children we were having. And one of the caseworkers said to us, how many bedrooms do you have? And I said, 3. And she was surprised. And her implication was, you need more bedrooms. You need the children to have their own bedrooms. And I kind of smiled and nodded. But you see, Jerry, the implication? The implication is, we have decided that the psychologically appropriate thing is for each child to have their own bedroom. Well, in my opinion, as their father, I think the psychologically appropriate thing is that they share bedrooms with a lot of siblings, because that's a great experience. They'll learn how to share, and they'll love it.
Absolutely.
That's my morals. Now, I didn't say that to the caseworker. I just nodded and said, well, we have the option of other bedrooms if we so need it. And we did. but I like having four of my boys in one room, and I think they like it too. So these kind of phantom psychological issues, I always reassure parents, look, if you want to adopt, you can do it. God wants you to adopt. Deal with this other stuff in its time.
Almost seems like a family, parents especially, should take sort of a matter-of-fact approach. Instead of, like you said, you know, this one family, you didn't want them to give the 9-year-old the decision. It should be like, here's what we're going to do. And as the adopted child comes in, this is a new member of our family, and this is the way things are. You know, not making so much of a big deal out of it that it's this special child or, you know what I'm saying, put so much attention that it creates a scenario that you don't want to have there. Just matter of fact.
This is our new brother and sister. Yeah. God has given us a brother or a sister.
Isn't that great?
Let's all embrace it
and celebrate it.
We had a situation with my oldest son probably about a month ago, my wife and I, and we didn't think we were going to do this, but we have considered adopting again. And my oldest son, for the first time ever of any of the children, said, I think we have enough children. I can understand that. I mean, there's 10 of them, and the oldest is 13. He might think that. Why, Andrew? And I know what he was thinking. His attitude was, look, Dad, you know, we got to help out, take care of these young ones. I really don't want another young one. I know that's what he was thinking. You know, I mean, that was his whole concern was, come on, you know, I got enough to try to help put to bed. Well, he adores his brothers and sisters, especially the little ones. And he'll adjust. If there's another child that comes into that family, initially that might not be his druthers, but my response to that, basically, I don't say it to him, is so what? And I think that if every Christian family who wants to adopt would adopt, there wouldn't be any children out there who need homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to say that there are plenty of children of other races in America who need mommies and daddies. And we're going overseas because we want to get children that maybe look more like us physically. But God doesn't look at any of that. And don't be frightened by the fact that your children are of another race. Do you know what the research says on that, Jerry?
Hmm.
It's wonderful. I saw a lady on the Oprah Winfrey Show about 5, 6, 8 years ago. She studied this issue of children being adopted cross-racially. And her conclusion was adopted children of other races do just as well or better as the general population as adults.
I'm not surprised.
It's not, of course not. The parents love them. Let me put to rest another fear that parents have about adoption. If you were to base your guess, Jerry, on the popular media regarding how many adoptive children have this big burning hole in their bosom to find their biological parents, and what percentage, when they are old enough, begin their search and try to find it, on the basis of just the pop media, the Sunday night miniseries, what percentage would you think?
80%.
Right. It's way up there. You know what the real percentage is?
10.
6.
6, okay.
6% of adopted children seek biological parents. And probably of that 6%, a majority is out of curiosity. I just want to know.
So you think it's a good thing that they do that?
It depends. If my children would come to me and say, Dad, I think I want to find out who was the lady that gave me birth, I'd say, well, when you're 18, if you still think that, I'll help you look into it. Not until then, son. Okay? And you have to recognize that she might not want to be found either. That's another issue. At this point, none of the children have even brought up that issue at all.
That brings up a lot of practicalities we could talk about.
Okay.
First of all, what about expense, the time that it takes, the real nuts and bolts of this? I mean, people... it could take a long time, and of course, you know, it is quite an expense to adopt a child, I understand.
Yes, in most cases. Yes and no. It depends on what you're doing. If you go overseas, these foreign governments know that their children are commodities. They charge you out the nose. Here in the States, if you adopt the unwantables, the children who are waiting or the children of other races, first of all, you'll probably pay zero. Most of those adoptions are either facilitated through state agencies or county agencies, and you pay zero. That's the first thing. Second thing is, even if you pay, the tax law now says you get a $5,000 tax credit for adopting. That's not a, now that's not a tax deduction, that's a tax credit. Mm-hmm. They take it right away from your tax bill. So right there you have the $5,000. You can also get a stipend. If a child is considered special needs, and it doesn't take much now to consider a child special needs. Most children of other races are considered special needs. Anybody who's generally older is considered special needs. Anybody drug exposed is considered special needs. I mean, they don't even need to have a special need as you and I would think of it. You can get a stipend, basically a small amount of help from the state monthly until the child is 18. It depends. In most situations, it's anywhere between about $250 or $450 a month to help with the upbringing of that child. So in that sense, these $35,000 adoption stories are not the norm if you are wanting a child that basically is considered somewhat hard to adopt. And by the way, you can get infants. You don't have to adopt a six-year-old. You can get infants. Those infants are available.
Time, I guess, too, would depend on circumstances, what kind of a child you're willing to adopt.
There it is. I tell folks, look, if you are open to adoption of other races and what would be called slight risk factors that will probably come to nothing, you can probably get a kid next week. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but that's about the way it is. It's much quicker.
What other practical matters are there? Legal, paperwork, things like that? I imagine there's a little bit of that involved. Is that intimidating for people?
Well, yeah, it can be, depending upon who helps you go through it. We've had adoptions. I remember one night, one of our adoptions, my wife was very angry at me. I was doing a speaking engagement out in California, and I called her. It was in February. And I called her to say, honey, the people out here are taking me around, and I'm seeing Newport Beach. It's really beautiful. Well, the timing of my call was bad. Because it was February and it was a blizzard, and my wife had to have something like 25 items completed for our adoption, and she had to drive around in the van with all the kids getting letters of recommendation and things that were due the next day. My timing was not good. I'm lounging around in Newport Beach while she's in a blizzard with six kids looking for adoption stuff. Not a good move, not wise on a husband's part.
I'm sure you haven't done it since.
No. I'm a husband. I learned my lesson after 10, 12 years.
Right.
Second thing, if you get an agency adoption or a private agency, they'll guide you through the paperwork. They'll take you through that. Sometimes you have to jump through a few hoops. You have to get things like physical exams, maybe a background check, a criminal background check, get fingerprinted. You have to get letters of recommendation and some references. Sometimes you have to develop what they call a cultural plan. Just a basic outline is what you're going to do to teach the child about his culture or his roots. Nothing overwhelming. And a lot of times with private adoptions, you don't have anywhere near that much. Now, you do have some attorney expenses, but they're very closely watched by the courts. And attorneys are not allowed to babysell. So, therefore, the average attorney expense is anywhere between about $1,000 and $3,000. Very affordable and, once again, reimbursable on your tax return. So that sense that for – I will say this. The most expensive adoption we ever had, Jerry, $7,000. That was the most expensive one we've ever had. We've had several that were zero.
You mentioned the very low percentage of kids that ever really want to go out and seek their biological parents. What about the issue of parents wanting their kids back or kids removed from an adoptive family? That might give people a little hesitation.
That's the most scary issue. Because of these high-profile cases where the child supposedly has been living with the adopted parents for 2.5 years, they're attached to him, he's attached to them, and the courts say, no, he must go back with this biological relative who lives in some far-off place. First of all, that is so rare. That is very, very rare. Secondly, this is critical. If you look into those cases, what you will find in almost all of them is that the dispute began way back at the beginning, and it drug through the courts, and then the courts rendered their decision finally through the fight two and a half, 3 years later. The idea that a child's been living in someone's home for 3 years and then an unknown relative or a birth parent changes a mind and comes back and goes to court and says, I want my child back. And the judge swoops in and says, put the child back. Almost never happens. As a matter of fact, I'm not aware of any time it's ever happened. And the judges all told us that is such a rare situation. And so I want to say over and over again to reassure parents, the risk that you're taking in something like that is minuscule.
What about in our final minute here, words of encouragement for people who might be listening who have thought about adoption, maybe haven't yet thought about adoption. You've been through it. It's been a joyous experience for you and your family. It is a loving alternative. God knows we want to make every alternative available to things like abortion and things like that. Any words of encouragement to people who
you
might
can't outgive God. If you step out of your comfort zone and adopt a child or two and you think, well, I'm ready to take on the struggle, you can't outgive God. You will soon find that the reward is much greater than you thought, and you may even be thinking of adopting again because this is too nice. I'm not doing anything sacrificial whatsoever. I'm getting rewarded. Okay, well, let me try again.
Well, praise God for that. Dr. Ray, it's been a pleasure as always, especially on this particular topic because I know how dear it is to your heart. Thank you for sharing so candidly with us and so knowledgeably and intelligently, and appreciate your time. We'll look forward to being together again next time.
Jerry, thank you so much.
I want to put people in touch with you, by the way, before we let you get away. As far as I know, you have a website, and you're also available for speaking engagements.
Yes, website, www.kidbrat.com. You can talk to me there. You can email me there. You can see what's going on. I put parenting tips up there now on the various discipline issues. And also speaking engagements through Catholic Answers. I've joined their stable along with James Aiken and Rosalind Moss and Jim Burnham and that bunch, and it's kind of nice to be associated with them.
Good stuff. Well, next time we're going to talk about homeschooling, who can do it, who should do it, some of the trials, tribulations, joys, challenges, and all that of homeschooling here on Dr. Ray Talks It Over. Be with us next time. God bless.